Turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Believe it or not, we've come into the 14th message in this series of Genesis, but we're dealing with Genesis chapter 10. And Candace is going to come and read this. I've learnt my lesson with trying to read some of these chapters, so I'll let someone more able, more eloquent, just read this chapter to us with. It's a chapter filled with name, persons, peoples, and nations. My message tonight is the birthing of nations. The birthing of nations, Candace.
Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphthor, and Targumor. And the sons of Javan, Elishaw, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after the families in their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabtor, and Ramor, and Sabtecha, and the sons of Ramor, and Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah. And reason between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lechabim, and Naphtim, and Parushim, and Kalushim, and out of whom came Philistim, and Kaphotim. And Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Archite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zamorite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admor, and Zeboim, even unto Lashol. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations. Unto Shem also, the father of all children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born, the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lut, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Getha, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Salor, and Salor begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided. And in his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad, and Sheleph, and Hazomaveth, and Gerar, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Diklah, and Obal, and Imael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. And these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Meshor, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your hand on the nations of this world. Lord God, that you have given a great commission, that every nation is to be evangelized, that this gospel is to be preached as a witness in every nation. I thank you that you do love the nations, that you're burdened for the nations, and that you sent your son to die for the nations. And Lord God, we bring Ireland before you, even our own nation and our own people, Lord God, and every single nation that's represented in this room tonight. Lord God, we lift up not only our families, but our nations, our peoples, Lord God, our culture, those of the same tongue as us. Lord God, we're asking, O God, that you would indeed bless, even as you covenanted with Abraham, that all families of the earth would be blessed through his chosen seed. Lord God, we ask for the blessing of God to come on all of our families, O God. Let the blessing of Christ, the blessing of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, even to flow into our families, Lord God, into our cities and into our nations, that your name might be glorified. Lord God, will you just speak to us and edify us, help us and teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You see now why I got Candace to read that chapter. Some chapters are harder than other chapters, and if you don't need to pronounce them, you can manage to read them in your mind. So don't be, there's always a blessing in the midst of hard chapters, maybe a genealogy or maybe in Leviticus. I have found some outstanding individual scriptures and truths hidden within what seems a very complex chapter. So please be encouraged. You may not be able to speak it out accurately or as good as Candace, but I can assure you there's a blessing just in reading the Word of God. You know, some portions of God's Word is meant to edify you, to build you up, to encourage you. Other bits of the Bible is meant to convict you, to challenge you, to rebuke you, or to correct you. And there's other portions still which are meant to enlighten us, or to teach us, or to instruct us. There is such a variety in the Bible, and such a difference. And that's why even in sermons, some messages I'll preach, they are meant to rebuke you. They are meant to search your heart. They're meant to feel, make you feel like you're being dealt with to the innermost parts of your heart. There's other messages which will make you to arise and rejoice in God. But I tell you, whether you're convicted or rejoicing, it's still the Word of God. It all has a purpose. Some other parts are simply to enlighten us and to help us. Amen. Our message tonight is the burthen of nations, the burthen of nations in Genesis chapter 10. I believe the great mark of this chapter, amidst all the names and the peoples that are mentioned, is the burthen of nations. The word nation is mentioned for the very first time in this chapter. We have already said the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It is that each one of these chapters are marked by new beginnings, or the first mention of certain words, or the first reference to certain things, or to incidents that are happening. And what we find in this chapter is the first mention of the word nations. It is never used before this. It is going to continue to be used all the way through to the book of Revelation, constantly, all the way down to us. But there was a beginning of the nations, and we find it here in this chapter, the first mention of the word nations. And it is mentioned four distinct times in this chapter. It is pronounced in this chapter, and we need to stop at this chapter and take note about the nations. Having just read this chapter, you may think, what can you possibly get out of this chapter of any spiritual good or of any practical use? But it is given here, and I find it a remarkable chapter. It fascinates me, because I'm going to point out to you your personal family history and family tree. Don't ever think you're an accident. Don't ever think you're an isolated person. You were known from not just your mother's womb, but you were known from before the foundation of the world. There's a God in heaven who knew you, but we can find our place physically as a people, as a culture, within the Bible. In this chapter 10, we find the beginning of nations. This has often been called the Table of Nations, because it is the only accurate record of the early nations of the world. You don't find it in any other religion. You won't find it in any other religious book. There is no secular history book quite like this chapter that reveals the history of mankind, or the history of the nations. You see, this takes us from what we dealt with last week. Noah and his three sons leaving the ark to modern history. This actual chapter takes us from that ark until a people scattered in every nation of the world. That's why this chapter is so important. And you know what? The secular person, the atheist, the evolutionist, they don't have this, they don't believe it, and they've got a big blank in their history, and they'll never fill it. They cannot fill it. But we have the names. We have the incidents that happen. We have the time scale. We have it all written here. Please note with me as we look at the birthing of nations that we're going to look at the three sons of Noah, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. This chapter is conveniently broken down amongst these three sons. And we see that these, out of these three sons came all nations in our world today. Every single nation in our world actually can trace itself, or if it can't, at least it knows it goes back to one of these three sons. There wasn't a fourth son. There was only the three. Notice here we have Japheth in verse 5. Ham in verse 20. Shem in verse 31. In verse 5, dealing with Japheth, as we begin to deal with Japheth, we read, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. Every one after," and notice this, how they were divided, "after his tongue, after their families, in their nations." Now verse 20 says a very similar thing when we come to Ham. It says that they were divided after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, in their nations. In verse 31, talking about Shem, it says again a similar thing. It says they were divided after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Now I want to point out to you here that there is a structure in this with the three family lines of Noah that came out of these three sons. The divisions into nations was actually made up out of the division of families and languages. What defines a nation? How do you know what a nation is? What do we mean by nation? When we talk about a particular nation, we're talking about a people who have come out of the same family line. If you trace it back far enough, they go back to one man and one woman, and that whole entire nation came out of one man and one woman. One nation comes out of a marriage, a relationship, and that nation is marked by tongues. So we read here that God has divided. Who has divided? God has divided the nations. It wasn't circumstantial. It wasn't because of a volcano. It wasn't man that decided to do that. We're actually told that it was the Lord who divided up all these nations. And when you find a people who've been born biologically out of the same relatives, grown from a small family to a great people, that is a nation. And each nation is marked by a distinct language. As soon as there's another language, it is no longer an individual nation. And we see that Japheth, Ham, and Shem, that their families started to divide into distinct nations. Now, lo, the same people came out of Japheth. They were divided into different nations. They weren't one nation that came from Japheth. There were many distinct nations. How do we distinguish them? They each had a distinct language, and they began to follow a different family line or genealogical line. You see, in this chapter, God has given us the families with their language, and we're told that these family groups with their own unique language were given particular lands and particular countries. See, a nation and a country is not synonymous, but a nation is given a country. What is a country? That is, once a nation finds a piece of land and establishes itself, then it becomes a country. That landmass becomes a country when a nation inhabits it and says, this belongs to us. Isn't it wonderful, saints, that God has divided the nations of the world uniquely? You see, grass is grass, isn't it? But I want to assure you that within the realm of grass, there are 10,000 different kinds of grass. I mean, out across the world. You go to America, Asia, Australia, you see, this is grass, but I assure you, it isn't all the same. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't grow the same. And yet, grass is grass. And yet, over the world, there are thousands of different kinds of grass. Generally, they're all green. That is one common denominator. But there is a common bond amongst them. Do you know what I want you to notice tonight? Is God is a God of diversity. He doesn't intend us to be unified in the sense of giving up our personality or giving up our own unique individual ways. I have never seen such a mixed bunch as you. Most of you has come out of this city. You can even live on the same street. You can even come out of the same family. You have come out of the same schools. And yet, I have never seen such a mixed bunch. As I sat down, I thought many times over this 2 years, I thought there's no two of you exactly the same. I couldn't put two of you in the same bracket and say you're uniquely the same. Not even those in the same family. You're not. You're so rare. You're so unusual. You're so absolutely different. Well, that's what God done with the nations. You see, mankind is united in one single family. And yet, look at the diversity of God. Is the diversity circumstantial? Is the diversity a freak? Is the diversity some accident or some problem in the genes? No. When we look at mankind, we see that God planned that man would look different. In all regions of the world, God has created diversity. Diversity of language. Diversity of culture. Diversity of family. Yeah. And diversity of nature. He has given us different colors, and that was created by God. It wasn't circumstantial. It wasn't accidental. God loves diversity. And like my God, I love diversity. I love the nations of the world. I don't expect us to be the same. I don't want to see in Limerick an African church and an Asian church, a Chinese church, and a white European church. I don't want to see that. The people who make up this city, I want them in this church. We still need to pray some Polish in, don't we? There's Polish all through this city. We need to have them in this church. We want to represent this city in the church, and there's no division. You know, when my dad was a pastor many years ago, there was Jamaicans who came to the church, black Jamaicans. They come, their family name was Brown. Come some of our closest friends. I grew up with Rosie and Susie. I was at all their birthday parties. That's all I knew from day one. We were a mixed people. In my school, there was Asians, Chinese, all of the rest. I love diversity. And God has created a great diversity within the nations. He has given us different languages. He has given us unique physical features. He has allowed us to have different cultures. There's nothing sinful in that. I love Limerick culture. I tell you, if a bit of Limerick culture could rub off of me on certain points, I would be glad. Some of it, I'd say, keep it. But there are some wonderful attributes that mark out Limerick as different from Cork or even Dublin. You are unique in this city, and I am glad to be identified with you. Certain nations, countries are marked by climate, by mountains. Mountains aren't an accident. Even islands being divided from landmass are not accidental. Saints, from the beginning of this message, get it in your mind and heart. God planned the mountain ranges.
Yes.
Mountain ranges that have divided two different nations. God planned it and ordained it. God has even ordained that Ireland would be a wet nation. Do you realise this? In 2 weeks, if it doesn't rain, we would be in a crisis in Ireland. Our water table is high, or whatever way you measure that. We need regular rain. Not like some other countries in Europe. It just stores up there underground and they don't need regular constant showers. But we are marked by a green climate and by our weather. That does affect something of our nature and who we are. Even being on an island at the corner of Europe, at the very end of the world, as Patrick used to talk about. So all of these things are ordained of God. Even that we're an island, God planned an island at the uttermost boundaries of Europe. God planned that this would be an island. It wasn't accidental because of a volcano or the splitting of the plates. God ordained an island. He ordained a people that would arrive here from a very distant place. Listen to what it says in verse 32 here. It says, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. In this chapter 10, we actually read of 70 nations. We read of individuals, and the only people who are mentioned in this chapter are those who are individually the head or the father of a particular nation. Or we not only read of individuals, we read of peoples as well. So in this chapter, we read of 70 distinct nations that begin to arise after the flood of Noah. Noah actually lived after the flood 350 years. That means for 350 years he watched the forming of nations, or he knew about the early rise of these nations. In the Bible, we're talking about eyewitness accounts. Noah actually died at the age of 950. He stayed up in the region of Mount Ararat in an area called Urata. That whole kingdom, or the whole region of Ararat, was called Urata. And later on, we actually have histories about Urata as a kingdom. And that's where Noah stayed. He didn't move down to Babel. He didn't go to the Tower of Babel. He stayed there until he died. But all his children filled the nations of the world. That means that Noah died in 1998 BC, or about 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. Do you know that that's when recorded history, secular history, begins? It's only just before this that Egypt begins its history. It's only just before this that Babylon begins its history, that Greece begins its history, that China begins its history. So we see that Noah didn't die until secular recorded history began. Anyone could have gone and checked with him. He could have challenged any of the error that was being told mankind. Listen to this in Deuteronomy and reference this. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8 and 9, when the Most High divided the nations. Who divided the nations? The Most High. When the Most High divided the nations to their inheritance. In other words, God actually had an inheritance for every nation. The nation was the people, the family, the language of a people. What was the inheritance? It was actually a portion of land or a continent within the world. So listen again. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Notice the word separate. Set the bounds. Divided. So look at what God is doing. He is dividing the nations. He didn't want them to be intermingled. He didn't want our beautiful African brothers simply to be merged with us so that they get whiter and we get blacker. He didn't want that. He wanted to have an utter unique gathering of nations within their own family units. God divided them. God separated them. God set the bounds on them. Do you realize he set a bound on the Irish peoples at a certain point? And he said, that is your little bit of land at the end of Europe. And I'm setting a boundary on you, though they've broken it in recent times and tried to repopulate the entire earth. One of the greatest exports of Ireland is its people over the past few hundred years. We almost had America, almost had Australia, almost had New Zealand. We tried our best to conquer the world by repopulation. Now it's the Muslims trying to do it. If only the Irish had succeeded. But it is God separating up the nations. He said, I want that nation there, and I'm dividing them there, and I'm putting a boundary there, because I love diversity. I love this, not the separation of nations, because they've always mixed. And there's no problem with intermarriage between cultures, not at all, because we find it in the Bible. In fact, I'm the godfather, though I don't like the term, of a beautiful young girl. Her mother was English, her father was Jamaican. And I've noticed when you get a mixed marriage like that, there is a beautiful colour that comes forth. Beautiful kids. I think God has just put his mark on it to say, I'm not allowing any sort of racism here. But God has separated the nations to grow up uniquely amongst themselves. Listen to the book of Acts. Acts 17:26. And God hath made of one blood all nations of men. What a powerful statement. God has made, this is the book of Acts, of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. So here we see that all the earth is made of one blood. We all have the same blood flowing through our veins. All Irish people have the same blood as all English people. There is no distinction. There is a separation of nations, but the blood is exactly the same. Cut an Englishman, cut an Irishman, and the same blood flows out of them. They are all one people. All nations come from one blood, but they've been dispersed. Notice in Acts 16 it says that God has determined the times before appointed for the nations. In other words, there are set, determined times that God has given to every single nation. Do you notice the way the Babylonians rose, then they fell? Then after them come the Medes and the Persians. The Medes were only a little nation. They were only a small people. But God joined the two peoples, raised them up, and they ruled the nations. And then after them, a little horn arose, a king, the first Grecian king, and his name was Alexander, and he almost conquered the entire world. God had to kill him of a disease, or there would have been no boundaries. He would have kept going. The Lord said, far enough, you've reached India. I'm not letting you go any further. Your days are numbered. He died about 32 years old. After that, who was raised up? The Romans. From a city, they conquered the whole Mediterranean. They marched as far as the border of Scotland, tried to go as far as Scotland, and those old Picts came down out of the hills, these barbarous wild men who painted themselves blue, and stopped them. Well, it wasn't the Picts. God just said, that's far enough. I've set a boundary on you. You ain't going any further. And he said, very shortly, you're going to fall as an empire. Do you know what happened in the Dark Ages when Europe got blanked out and there was no light of the gospel and they lost learning and they fell back into darkness? Do you know what God done? God lifted up a little nation called Ireland, filled it with the gospel after the days of Patrick, sent revival, and he sent the gospel to all of Europe from this nation. Do you know God has determined the times appointed? He has set appointed times for certain nations. That's why nations rise and they fall, and it fluctuates. But God says, I have a plan for every single nation. And he's not finished with Ireland. I don't believe he is. I still believe there are times determined and appointed of God for Ireland. And yet we don't know them, but he does. And it also says in Acts, and that he has set the bounds of their habitation. Where a nation lives, God set the boundary of it. God set that. And yet the world government of our day and the UN is trying to intermingle everyone, aren't they? They're trying to destroy nationalism. And you know what? I'm a nationalist.
Yeah.
I am a nationalist. I believe in patriotism and nationalism. If we're going to be Irish, let us be Irish. Don't be ashamed. If you're African, English, or whatever, what you are, don't be ashamed of that. Yeah. Took me a while to get over my Northern accent over down here, but I've got over it now. I'm just going Northern Irish. Don't sound as beautiful as you down here. And maybe you say you don't sound as beautiful as me. But God has set the boundary of the habitation. That, and this is the reason in Acts 17 why he said he set the boundaries and he's appointed times of visitation to every nation. Listen to the reason. Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord.
Yeah.
If happily they might feel after him, talking about nations, and find him, though he be not far away from all of us. Wasn't there a day when Ireland lay in darkness, worshipping its idols, worshipping paganism with its druids, and one preacher came, and it appeared of 30 years, God shone the light of the gospel. Do you know that wasn't accidental? Do you know God had ordained a time to St. Patrick here? Do you know that God had ordained, said, I'm going to lift up the Irish nation? We all came from one family. And all had one language in those days. God lifted up the Irish nation and saying, I've got a wonderful plan for you. Within 200 years, you'll be evangelizing everywhere. They won't be able to stamp you out. Not even Roman Catholicism will be able to conquer your missionaries. They'll evangelize all the way through to Italy. Do you realize missionaries went out of this island preaching a true gospel? They were against the Pope. They were against Mary. They were against statues. They were against crossing themselves. They were against all of that. Irish missionaries in the 8th century. And they preached as far as Italy. Do you know what they're saying? You're not coming here to evangelize. We'll go evangelize in Italy. If we can, we'll reach the city of Rome. What a spirit was. Do you know God had appointed a time for the Irish people? Do you know why? To feel after him. And God works in every nation because he says, I want that nation to come to me. Now, quickly, let's deal here with these three sons. I'm not going to cover every name. I'm not going to cover every people. But let me just lay out briefly some of the information in this chapter. First of all, we have Japheth from verse 2 to verse 5. We actually read about Japheth that he had 7 sons and that 14 nations come out of Japheth. His name means expansion, enlargement. Expansion or enlargement. It could mean that he's going to spread widely, or it could mean something else. It could also mean the opening up. It could mean intellectually. It could mean with learning. But this man, Japheth, do you know God ordained where his people were going to live? God had a plan to bring 14 nations out of Japheth. And he had 7 sons. We read this in verse 2. The sons of Japheth. Gomer. Magog. Underline Magog if you underline in your Bibles. And Madi. And Javan. And Tubal. And Meshech. And Taras. Now, why did I ask you to underline Magog? Well, I'll explain just shortly. But this term Magog, 2,000 years ago, Josephus, the Jewish historian, he actually talked about the descendants or the family or the nation of Magog that come out of him. And he called them the Magogites, the Magogites. And he said the Greeks called the Magogites the Scythians, the Scythians. Now do you know all the early inhabitants of Ireland says we descend from Magog. You and I descend from Magog. He is the second son of Japheth. So if we're real authentic Irish here, this is your family tree. I'm taking you back to the days just after the flood. The second son of Japheth and that you were in his loins. You were in that man's loins unless you've had some intermixing with some other nationality. But some of his DNA is flowing in you here tonight. Isn't it amazing? You see, all the first writers in Ireland, or the first inhabitants in Ireland, arrived here about 1484. About several hundred years after the flood. They came via Spain, and one of their names was Basques. The first Irish inhabitants. And they arrived in this island. Do you know who ordained them to come here? God planned that they would come here. God says, I've got a little landmass just for you. And you know what? He got them kicked out of Spain. They've been causing trouble ever since. Obviously, whatever they're doing in Spain, they said, we don't want you, kick them out. They come to the island of Ireland and begin to populate this little island. You were in the very bowels, or in the very innermost being of Magog. He is your ancient ancestor. It also talks here about Gomer. And they actually say that Gomer is more of the European people spreading through to England. The British more descended from Gomer. It also talks about Madi. This is where we get the term Medes or the Medo-Persians. They lived in Iran. And also the Iraqis, the Iraqis also all come out of Madi. But that's who they were. We read of Togomer, who actually populated Armenia. But please note with me in verse 4, Javan. This man, Javan, is the father of the Greeks, the Spanish, and of the first inhabitants of Troy. Since we have the actual family line of every nation in the single, in the entire world, right in our hands. Look at verse 5, just summarizing all the family tree of Japheth. It says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. Notice with Japheth, it specifically mentions the isles of the sea. It also calls his children the Gentiles. Doesn't call Ham or Seth that. Specifically, the Japhites are called Gentiles. And they especially inherit the isles. All the more reason to know we descended from Japheth. Now, this people actually are often called the Indo-European peoples. All the families, all the tribes, 14 of them that come out of Japheth, they actually went north. They went east. And they went west as well. They inhabited all of Europe, but they also are called Indo-European. Do you realize the Indian people come out of the same family as the Europeans? Japheth populated the north of India, down into India, as well as all of Europe. We are all one people. We may sound drastically different in our language. We may look different in our colour. But you look at northern Indians, they exactly look like Europeans, apart from the shade of the colour. Their face, their nose, etc. There is a unique mark there to show that they're the same. So Japheth's descendants split into two peoples. One went west into Europe, the other went east into India, and they spread out. Now notice Ham. Ham is the next son, and we read about Ham from verse 6 to verse 20. More information is given about Ham than the other two sons. Also, we read that Ham had four sons, and that 30 nations came out of him. Only 14 out of Japheth, but 30 nations out of Ham. The name Ham means to burn or to be hot. It may be that his nature or personality was hot, or maybe it was that he loved the heat more and he gravitated towards the sun. He had a desire to live in that climate. You know, it's not long before you speak to someone from Africa and they realize what Irish weather is like. Isn't that true? They go, it is a drastic change of climate. The Irish have got used to it. Some Irish can't stand the heat. It's too much for them. I have met such a person. But notice the four sons of Ham here. It begins with his four sons. First of all is Cush. Cush is his first son. The name Nubia also comes from him. And in verse 7 we actually read of all the sons that came out of Cush. Now Cush, actually there's an area in Egypt called Nubia or Lower Egypt that was called after Cush. It was named after him. That was his first port of call after Babylon. That's where the Cushites, or the people of Cush, actually went to. Out of them came all the African nations, out of Cush specifically. Also some of the Arabic people, maybe some of the first inhabitants of Egypt. They all come out of him. We see in this family line Seba or Sheba. We know the people of Sheba were a great people in Africa. And we have many great nations that rose up out of Africa. Notice how all of this went out from the place called Babylon. Look at verse 8, amongst the Cushites. It says, and Cush begat Nimrod. So one of his sons, the grandson here of Ham, was called Nimrod. And he began to be a mighty one on the earth. So much of this chapter is taken up with Nimrod from verse 8 to verse 12. He was the first great leader of mankind. The first great political leader. The great first lead organizer of world religion. The first one that tried to break down nationalism and bring people into unity. He was against nationalism. He was against division. He was against the plan of God. That's who Nimrod was, and we'll deal more with him again. But notice again, the third son of Cush, or third son of Ham, was called Mizraim. That's the Jewish name for Egypt. That's where we get the name Egypt from. So this third son was the father of the Egyptian people, our nation. It's very interesting that Egypt in the Bible is called the land of Ham. In Psalm 78, Psalm 105, Psalm 106, and in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, Egypt is called the land of Ham. Do you know what that means? Ham, after the dispersion at Babel, at the Tower of Babel, where did Ham move to? He moved to Egypt. Who did he go with? He went with his son Mizraim. Cush went in that direction. They all went in that direction via Egypt, began to populate Africa, began to populate the surrounding region. We also have here is Put, another son of Ham. Where was Put? It is Libya in the north of Africa. So we see the descendants of Ham spreading out across. This is a different line than the Africans or the black Africans. There was another family line simply went out across the north of Africa. But lastly, notice the last son of Ham here. He is called Canaan. Canaan. Now there was a curse last time we dealt with this. Canaan was specifically cursed. What was the curse? He would actually serve the other brothers. There was an actual curse brought upon him. Do you realize the attitude in Ham? Remember the disrespect for his father. Remember the lack of morals. The disrespect for authority. It was his son Canaan that Noah cursed. He didn't curse Ham. He didn't curse all the children of Ham. He didn't curse the Africans. He specifically cursed the Canaanites, and that line of the family. You see, God was giving Noah a prophecy. It wasn't Noah getting angry with Ham. No, this was the Spirit of God giving a curse through his mouth and saying, marking out the Canaanites and cursing them. Why would God do that? The Canaanites were raised up some of the most wicked nations on the face of the earth. The Philistines come out of them, the Canaanites, the Phoenicians, all of these people actually came out of the Canaanites. Some of the most immoral people, some of the most evil, they sacrificed their children on fires to Baal. They literally threw their little young children into the fires and watch them scream and burn. That's how wicked the Canaanites were. Where the Canaanites settled, Israel came in and took that land. Is it any wonder when God sent his people into Israel and God said to them, don't spare any, not the children, not the women, no one. Wipe them out as a culture. Why? Because God had given them many opportunities. God had reached out to them. God had warned them. But you know what? They'd become so depraved and wicked. God said, they need to be wiped off. I won't wipe out all humanity again, but I will wipe them out as a people. They are so wicked and so depraved. But it's very interesting as well. Out of Canaan, he had children. And one of them was Heth, who become the Hittites, who until 150 years ago, the archaeologists, the secular historians, they said there is no such people as the Hittites. They don't exist. There was no empire. It's only a fable in the Bible. And this proves that the Bible isn't true. This is what they're saying up until 150 years ago. But you know what? Archaeology found a whole empire rising up out of Turkey. It's the Hittites. And it's here in the Bible. And the old scorner kept saying, the Bible's not true. Look, it's missed. Your Bible's wrong. I'm glad I believe the Bible and not them. The historian and the archaeologist and the brain boxes and the evolutionists that tell us all sorts of things. I'm going to stick with the Bible, saints. I believe this word. It is accurate in every single detail. You see, the Hittites were a great people and they come from Heth. Whole empires come out of individual men. But notice here the last one. Sinite. The Sinite people came out of this, out of Ham's family as well. Some say they're the Chinese, or the Asians, or the Japanese, or the Easterns. I don't know. Maybe they come from the line of Shem that we're going to finish with, or maybe they come from the line of Ham. But they do say that the Sinite is mentioned in Isaiah 49:12, and it talks about them being an eastern people. Let's go to the last one. Shem is last mentioned in this chapter from verse 21 to 31. Shem is always mentioned first. We read about five of his sons and the 26 nations come out of Shem. Some people, if I ask you tonight, who were the children of Shem? You may be able to say the children of Israel. Israel come out of there, out of him. And we think Shem is restricted to one small people. No, he wasn't. 26 great nations came out of Shem. All of the Arabic peoples, all the Middle Eastern peoples that we think of as Arabia or Arabic peoples, Suf has a bit of Shem blood in him, has a bit of Japheth blood. When his parents come together, it was Shem and Japheth meeting after 4,000 years of separation. What a reunion. And now we've got a Japhite Shemite in our midst. Isn't it wonderful to have such diversity? Do you know, God is still, you know, Ian experiments with his dogs and wants to get beautiful breeds or whatever. I don't know where he does, but they do. They're looking for a certain type. Do you know what? I think God's looking down all the time saying, this individual who I'm going to save, I'm going to join these cultures. I don't believe it's any accident that those two cultures joined in a man. I don't believe it's any accident you guys sitting in Limerick here tonight. I don't believe it's any accident Jer sitting here tonight, an Englishman living in Ireland. I don't believe these things are circumstantial. God loves diversity, but he also loves to mess the whole thing up as well and do things back to front. But notice 26 nations come out of Shem. All of the Middle Eastern nations that we think of as Arab. Don't just think Muslim, think of Arab. But it says here, first of all, in verse 25, and this is how it starts with his family. And unto... verse 21 it says, and unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber. And he jumps down the line a wee bit. Why does he mention Eber? Because Eber, out of Eber came the Hebrews. And Abraham was a Hebrew. So there was a man called Eber, and he's just making sure you know that see with Shem is going to come the Hebrew people, the Israelites, the Jews are going to come out of Shem, not out of Japheth, not out of Ham. He is going to come out of Shem. And when God gave the blessings and the curses on Ham and Japheth and Shem, he was saying that all those other peoples are going to be blessed through Shem. God, look, I'm a Japheth, okay? I don't feel all offended that God didn't choose Japheth and he went and chose Shem. Praise God that he chose someone. He didn't choose Japheth to bring a blessing to the whole world. It was going to be Shem that holy seed. Do you realize all down the line, you can trace to Shem. Shem, out of Shem is going to come Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. Down out of that line of Shem, not Japheth, not out of Ham, he is going to be born. See, God had a plan, didn't he? Isn't it? We just have a child. Little do we realize the plan that God is going to have for that child. He knows it in the womb. And if it's going to become a great nation, he says, I've got a plan. I know its name. I named it before it was even born. I know everything about it. I know how I'm going to use that child. I know my desires for it. And you know what? The same goes for every one of you in this room. When you were in your mother's womb, he had his eye on you. His love was set towards you. When you're out as a rebel sinning against God, he is looking upon you. He is desiring you. But notice as well, it mentions a very strange thing here. It mentions a man, Peleg, in verse 25, out of this line. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. His name means division. Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided. In his days, does that mean the continent split? No. That happened during the flood. This is 3 or 4 generations later. It's over 100 years after the flood. So what's this division? It's when God is going to divide all the nations. They're all together at this point. All the sons are together. But it's in the days of Peleg that God gave 70 different languages. How do I know that? There's 70 nations. And he gave each one of them a distinct language. And it was in the days of Peleg that he diversified the languages. And Nimrod was trying to stamp out nationalism. He was trying to break the plan of God. He was trying to stop people spreading out. He was trying to control everything. And God says, I'm not having this. I'll just confuse. No, diversify the languages. And I'll give 70 families an utterly unique tongue, and they'll all go in their own way. Do you know what God done? He divided them. Who divided them? Oh, but it was because of sin. Yes, but it was in the plan of God. Yes, but sin and rebellion caused it. Yes, but it was in the plan of God. Never forget that in the midst of sin, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds greater.
Yeah.
And where sin seems to dominate, God is going to step in with his grace and say, I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the city of Limerick. One last time, out of this family came Abraham of this line of Peleg. And through Abraham, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. The Bible says all families in the world are going to be blessed through you, Abraham. And that your children will be more than the stars of the sky. That's a spiritual seed. And your children are going to be more than the sand of the seashore. That's his physical children. And God says, I'm going to bring a child out of your family, one child. And he is going to bless every single family on the earth. Let me close with Revelation 7 and 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Notice how we're marked in the kingdom of God. Of all nations and all kindreds, that means families, and all people and all tongues. Do you realize God will never do away with nations? Never. Never. There is never going to be a time where God merges it all and does away with color. Never. Our languages, it's just we'll all be able to understand each other. Our color, our distinction. He's not. He'll do away with the landmasses and have us on one landmass. But he is going to unify us. And listen where all these people are. It says they stood before the throne. Right now it's happening. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Do you realize right now that every nation is gathered at the throne of God? People out of every family group, out of every language. And I don't believe that they're just singing in Hebrew all unitedly. I believe there's African voices at the throne of God right now. I believe there's all the European languages, all the languages of the world, all the Asian. And can you imagine them all singing one song, in harmony, in beautiful tune, in rhyme, and they all understand each other, and the Lamb of God understands them, and they're worshipping. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, he's going to divide the nations between goat nations and sheep nations. He's not talking about individuals. He says when he comes back, he'll judge the nations, and he's going to separate them and say, "You were a sheep nation, and you were a goat nation," and he's going to judge them individually. The Great Commission isn't for people, isn't just for regions, isn't just for the world. It is for nations. Go preach the gospel to all nations. This gospel will be preached in all nations as a witness. Then the end shall come and I'll be here. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon our nation, the Irish nation, every nation that's represented in this room tonight. Lord God, what a wonderful thing that we were in the very bowels of Noah, that you brought us forth in appointed time, that you planned the very nations. You planned my nation. You planned our nations. You even the desire to plan the habitation, the islands, the country, the landmass that we would even live in and our people would be raised up in. Lord God, we do ask that you evangelize the Irish again. We're asking that this gospel would come with power to the Irish. We're asking you tonight, will you remember this nation? Will you set an appointed time again? Will you revive us? Will you restore us? Will you bring multitudes to Christ? In Jesus' mighty name, amen.